Well, open your Bible to John. Guess where? How about 14? John 14. Well, this passage changed my life. Still changing my life today. And I thank God again for the day that Sue and I walked through the doors of this church and began to hear these messages by Pastor Dave about what praying in tongues could do for you if you yielded yourself over to the Holy Spirit, where He could begin teaching you the mysteries of the gospel. For a long time, I couldn't find those mysteries except over in 1 Corinthians 14. But then later on, I found them here in this passage in John. It's a little bit later on here. But not only what praying in tongues could do for you, in the sense of revelation knowledge, that's what began coming first. It's, you know, I see where Paul got his pattern. When he'd write the letters, you know, he'd start off with the Corinthians. We love you. God loves you. You guys are doing great. You come behind in no gift. The whole world talks about your faith. By the time you get to chapter 3, you little bottle sucking babies, you're so split, divided, and carnal, I can't even give you a hamburger. Well, the Holy Spirit is like that too. You know, at first He comes to encourage you and He loves on you and builds you up in your most holy faith. Praise God. And He started showing me revelation knowledge at first. I thought, this is wonderful. This is great. He's going to teach me all these things and leave me alone. By the time he got to chapter 3 with Gary, well, we got to talk about some things here, boy. You know, so he starts dealing with strongholds. Do you notice that they're not called weak holds? Easily dismissed. Oh, sure, Lord, I'll change that. Sure. Lifelong pattern I've had. Sure, I'll change that. No, not a problem. You're ready for some earthquakes and tsunamis and all kinds of internal disasters. But He's got to break up those things and get them out of our life if we're going to become more like Him. Hallelujah. I'm pretty sure the Lord is stronghold free. We're being changed into that same image. Glory to God. Well, the other half of the message that, you know, praying in tongues, what all that would do. But then when He began speaking about teaching us about how to meditate the Word. And how to meditate it in whole images. That was a revelation in itself, just that one. Well, you got to ask the Holy Spirit, where does this subject begin and where does it end? It starts delivering you from a snippet theology. You know, snippets. I was a victim of snippet. What do they call them nowadays? Soundbite theology. They'll give you a little sound bite like Luke 6:38. Snippet theology. Write whole books about it. I have volumes on it at home. I used to. I don't have them anymore. I found a round file to put them in. I didn't want to give them to anybody else. But anyway, yeah, snippet theology. You know, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men heap into your bosom. And if that's all you know, and you're a victim of that. And they tell you that that means every time you give into an offering, for example, that God is going to, whatever you give, right here it is. Look at your Bible, they say. But they only want you to look at that one verse. Look at your Bible. Isn't that what it says? Yes, it says it right here. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Well, then Dave comes along and starts teaching you about every verse means what it means. In the context that God gave it, God's trying to paint a picture for you, and every verse is like the stroke of the brush. You better find out what the whole picture is. So when you start backing up in Luke chapter 6 and find out what He's talking about, in no way is He talking about a church offering. No, He's talking about when that ugly sinner, the one God's trying to save, the guy who's treating you bad, slapping you on one cheek, taking your goods and walking off with it, He says, no, if you'll just go ahead and give your goods to him and let him go off. Yeah, he'll go off. But if you'll extend my mercy across the void of spiritual death to that guy, yeah, that old sinner, what I want you to do is extend my love towards him. He may walk off with your goods, but here's my guarantee. If you'll go that far with my gospel and give to that sinner like that, my guarantee, I'll speak to the hearts of other people. They're going to give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You'll never be permanently diminished for extending my love to the sinner. God, that's good stuff. It's so much more. It's so, you, something in your spirit just goes, yes, when it's real, you know. Then we graduated to assimilation. Now that's where you, that's one step beyond meditating in whole subjects. Now you begin meditating whole books. And how do you do it? Well, you assimilate it. How do you assimilate it? Just like Pastor Dave says, you, it's good to start with the little ones, you know. Start with maybe 1 John. How about 3 John? How about little ones? Just start with the little ones, you know. Jude is a good one. And all the chapters, meditate them all in Jude. Anyway. And you start reading them 30, 40, 50 times. What are you doing? You're just equipping your spirit at this point for day and night meditation. You keep praying in tongues. If you fall into a pattern of doing that, now it's okay to look up, if you find a word you don't know what that means, you can go look it up in a dictionary. But do not start reading the commentaries. Let the Holy Spirit bring you His commentary. It's a lot better. It's a lot better. Now, you can learn things from teachers, but only if they learn from the Holy Ghost. Now, this passage, as I was doing that very thing with the book of John several years ago, a lot of things, especially beginning here in John 14 through 17, I mean, things just began finally the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle begin coming together. And what happens if you start assimilating whole books, then revelation that you get in John, something, it'll unlock something over in 1 Corinthians. And then that'll unlock something over in Romans. And pretty soon you're starting to see the mind of Christ in a depth and an understanding that you've never seen before. And the end result of that, if you keep going, you're going to find out that this gospel is about people. And you're going to have to change if you don't love them very much. And that's the biggest stronghold of all. But see, God's love, the greatest love of all, is that you lay down your life for your friends. Hallelujah. And God talks about a love where you even lay down your life for your enemies, which is what our Master did. Well, I was meditating, John, and again now, one of the reasons that this hit me so strong is because Sue and I had already been saved and Spirit-filled for 12 years before we even knew there was a prayer center. And we were spirit-filled, we could speak in tongues, and we did from time to time, but it was pretty much like most charismatic people, you know. Come to a church service, and a wave of emotion comes through the crowd, and you speak in tongues for a few minutes, and wasn't that a great service? Yes. Spoke in tongues, all 2 or 3 minutes, it was wonderful. Or even during the week sometimes, you know, especially if you're busy Christian, and you got your scripture box. Scripture for the day. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Shandalai, shandalai, shandalai. I'm ready for the day. Hallelujah. Well, that was us, you know. We were trying to serve the Lord, and we did serve the Lord. We did a lot of things for the Lord during that first 12 years. But boy, it always seemed kind of hit and miss. It always seemed like, you know, a scattershot. Well, we're doing this for God. We did prison ministry. We did Bible studies. I was worship leader. I know that'll stretch your faith. The church I was in, if you could strum three keys on a guitar, you were a worship leader. You know, anyway. But you're just hoping that it's really you really don't have any contact in a way with the mind of Christ. I mean, we loved Him. Don't see. You can judge me all you want. I know who I was before I got saved. Don't tell me. Tell you my whole life, everything about us changed. 4th of July, 1980. Money had been my God. The bars was where I went to worship. I'm telling you right now. I'd work hard all week so I could go spend a lot of money on Friday and Saturday night getting drunk. I love to tip the waitresses $100 just to see what the look in their eye would be. And I could. You know, cars and houses and fancy suits and what you thought of me, that was my God. I mean, that's what my life was about. And then just having fun doing what I wanted to do. drink. I mean, I would just drink all the time. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, 4th of July, the Master came. I bowed my knee. See, and what you don't, some of you know, some of you, this was, I'd already walked away from the Lord twice before in my life. I'd had a pretty good relationship with Him twice before in my life and walked away. Human love would probably say that's it for you. And I was already made my mind up. I was never going to go back into a church again. And His love. You got this little guy named Michael Muccio, who, by the way, is moving back to Tulsa. Glory to God. Glory to God. When Dave met him, after I'd been talking about him all these years, Dave finally got to meet him. He says, "My God, I thought surely you had to be 9 foot tall." And I still feel that way about him. After everything Gary said, you know, I feel like he'll be 9 foot tall. But God sent this little guerrilla fighter. You know, a guerrilla fighter is the one that goes across enemy lines unawares. He came over into the business world. Now, I'm sure he didn't know completely what he was doing, but boy, God knew what He was doing. Sent him over there and got us and about 24 other couples, by the way. The Master came. Our whole world changed from that day on. Didn't care about the bars anymore. Didn't care about what you thought about me anymore. Didn't the big house. We had 2 Cadillac cars, new ones. Thank you very much. Didn't care anymore. Everything changed. Never had another drink since 1980. Got rid of, within a matter of a week or two, all the pornography was gone out of the house, all of the filth, everything. I mean, it just completely changed our lives. Did you get perfect? Still not perfect. Still being transformed. But I remember. I know who I was before. I know who I was after. And I made Him a promise. Said, "Jesus, you're never going to have to come after me again. This time, I am going to follow You. Wherever you go, you're going to find me right on your coattails." But it was hard for me to do during that first 12 years because I couldn't hear Him very well. We had this intense love for Jesus. Sue and I knew we'd been saved from hell. We wanted to give our lives to Him. We knew there's a whole world that needs to be saved, you know. But man, what do you do, you know? Because I was raised in a kind of church where the denominational kind of church I grew up in, the only things that there really was pastor and missionary. Sunday school teacher. I mean, there was no such thing as apostle, prophet, really teacher, in like we know it to be. So we just did whatever we could, and most Christians are doing that. You know, they're doing their best, doing a lot of things, hoping it's God. Scattershot. We started coming here. And Dave began saying, "You know, there is such a thing as the leadership of the Holy Spirit." He said, "There's a way if you want to, that you can begin receiving instruction that comes directly from the mind of the living Christ. Where you don't have to be guessing and wondering all the rest of your life if you're doing what He called you to do. You'll know you're doing what He called you to do. And He will empower you to do it." God, man, that captured me. And so we began doing everything in this message. I had that perfect job where I could get paid to pray. And I was driving those trucks, and so a man here, just let her rip, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. Then as he would teach us how to meditate the Word of God as I could, and especially once I left the trucks, man, I started devouring these things. I had two little jars had 30 beans in one of them. Whatever book I was meditating, I had it at the ugly building. When I'd get through meditating, reading that book again, I'd move a bean over. Meditating them. I remember going through John, and then this passage right here began. Man, this was my answer. This is what Sue and I had been looking for 12 years. And so John 14:16. Jesus is about to leave the planet. His disciples are having the same question right at that moment that Sue and I had. How are we going to follow you? If you're leaving the planet, is your lordship over? How are we going to follow you? That's what Sue and I wanted to know. How can we know for sure that we're following what you want? Here it is. He says, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, see, in the context, He just told them He's living, leaving. He's living too, but He's leaving. He's been abiding with them for 3.5 years. He says, now I'm leaving. This other one, this Comforter that the Father's going to send, He's not ever going to leave you. You need to get that. There's an important point right there. And I taught at length on this Sunday night at Calling in the Lost. I think the title we put on that was, He is with you at your worst. See, we have this idea because we've been taught from passages like, and I will get to John 14. You know, when the Holy Spirit descended, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend like a dove. Well, what have we been taught about that? Well, He comes like a dove, you know, and you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we get the impression He's almost skittish. Does that mean skittish? Easily spooked. Boy, you better not say, God forbid you say a cuss word. That's it. Whew. Hear those wings? Flutter, flutter, He's gone. You know, we get to feel, because, and so we've been taught like, now it is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit, but you're going to find out He's a lot tougher than you think He is. And in one of these face-to-face documents, as I was praying one day, He says, don't think religiously that I am only with you when your performance comes up to certain standards. He said, I have seen you at your worst, yet I still love you, and I'm still here to help you. He says, if you think that my love is so fragile that I would abandon you when you fail, you have earthly friends that love you more than that. And He's right. Think you not I love you more than they? He says, I have been assigned, and really He took this role voluntarily, but He took the assignment of doing exactly what Jesus said here. I have come to abide with you forever. Stop wallowing in self-condemnation for 2 weeks every time you miss it. I used to do that all the time. I'd miss it. Miss it is not strong enough. I'd sin. You know, it could be anything. Let's pick something nice. I'd get mad at somebody, lose my temper. Okay? Well, I'd feel guilty, don't you? You know, when you really, you know you've grieved the Lord. Man, I'd feel guilty. Didn't feel like I could pray. Didn't feel like my prayers would be answered. Probably grieved the Holy Spirit. I heard the flutter of wings. Wallow around. It's almost like I felt like, well, okay, I've got a lot. You know, and what it looks like now to me, I mean, it didn't then, but have you ever seen those movies of those old priests in the medieval days, and they take those whips and they'd walk and whip their backs? Well, that's what we do all the time. Really, we do it for about 2 weeks. I don't know, maybe different with other people. And then finally you figure you've paid your penance. Surely by now He'll forgive you. I mean, ultimately, there's only one place to go. You're going to have to go back to the blood anyway. You're going to have to go 1 John 1:9. Why lose 2 weeks every time? Now, it's good that you've... I mean, it is good that we should feel condemned. Thank God He doesn't leave me alone. What's scary is if I can sin and don't feel bad. Dear God, I don't want that. But I don't want to lose 2 weeks every time either. So get over yourself. If you think every time that you miss it, every time you do something wrong, the flutter of wings and the Holy Spirit has left you. He is the toughest individual I have ever known. And He is with you in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? He'll help you. Aren't you with your children when they miss it? I told the story Sunday night. By the way, Amanda is the one that edits the Sunday night messages. I knew that when I told the story. Of my 3 daughters, all of them went into some rebellion in their teenage years. Amanda, just so you'll know, this is a perfect illustration. Amanda, see, We get requests all the time. My teenagers are in rebellion. Oh, what are they doing? They're drinking that beer, Brother Gary. They're drinking that beer. Okay. Amanda was arrested in Mobile, Alabama by the FBI for interstate transportation of stolen firearms when she was 17. That's a little more than drinking the beer. Brought back to Oklahoma in the back seat, you know, one of those cage police type cars, you know, one of those cage cars. The guy that she did it with got a 12-year prison sentence. We're talking serious stuff. So, Gary, your love for your youngest baby, it just fluttered away like that dove, right? The only person that may have been hurting as bad as her was her mama and I. And it was bad. This is my baby. This is my youngest one. Now, by her actions, she had done things that I was not pleased with. Neither of us were pleased. And she'd really, by her actions now, gotten herself out of my reach. I mean, she had herself in a jail. I couldn't, you know, we couldn't fix her supper that night. By the way, to this day, she cannot eat anything with macaroni in it. Because the instructions I got from the Lord was to leave her in that jail cell for 30 days. 30 days. And it was a little old half basement jail cell up in Jay, Oklahoma. That jail was built about 1890. Dark and dank and musty, and her bed folded down. It was a metal cot thing that folded down from the wall, and they fed her. Every meal had macaroni in it. You know, macaroni and cheese, macaroni and ground beef. To this day, I don't think she can eat anything with macaroni. Maybe she's over it now. It's been a long time. But see, and what was her request first time I saw her? Daddy, get me out of here. Boy, did I want to get her out of there. But see, the sorrow that was in her eyes wasn't the godly sorrow, the kind not to be repented of. It was worldly sorrow. She was sorry she got caught. There wasn't really any real heartfelt repentance yet. We could have got her out. It was only $2,000 to get her out on bail. We could have got her out easy. No. Now, I did go visit with the jailer, the sheriff, actually, to make sure that she wasn't going to be molested. She was in a separate jail cell, not in with other inmates, and that was going to stay that way. He was a good man. So I knew she's going to be okay. But the Lord said, leave her. Leave her in there. You talk about tough love. That was one of the most difficult decisions ever. But sometime in that fourth week, now see, I'm doing all this to illustrate the love of the Holy Ghost. If you think my human love in any way compares with God's love, you are sadly mistaken. Now, if human love will go this far, see, leave her there. Sometime during that fourth week, approaching 30 days, right close to 30 days, saw her again. Out of, you know, the eyes are the window of the soul. I'm telling you, there was a different girl looking out at me through those eyes. She never has told me the details, but something happened during that fourth week. And she had a life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. She has never been the same human since. Never been in any trouble with the law of any kind. Good mother, good wife. She's the one that edits the tapes. She had to edit that message. She'll probably have to edit this one. But she says, I said, does it embarrass you? She says, no, because she sent me an email. I asked her about, you know, this last time. She said, not really. She said, it's just exactly like you said. When I hear that, it's like you're talking about a different person. I can't even remember how I used to think. It's just like another person to me. It doesn't embarrass me. And if it'll help anybody, preach on, Daddy, preach on. Now, the point is the Holy Spirit. Did our love abandon her when we saw her at her worst? Absolutely not. Do you think the Holy Spirit's going to run off from you when He sees you at your worst? Oh, I missed it. Especially, you know, people, well, I love Alan's. I thought he was getting a little braggadocious one day, Alan Taylor. You know, I didn't know him that well yet. You know, I mean, I seemed like a nice guy. I said, my goodness, what are they teaching up there at that Bible college? But anyway, stood right up here on the platform and just announced to us. He says, I want you to know that I have become expert at 31-day fast. And I'm thinking, well, good for you, buddy, you know. I'm still working on shorter ones than that and having trouble. He says, no, you didn't understand. I have become expert at doing 30 one-day fast. Set out to do a 30-day fast, but become expert at doing a one-day fast. I said, now I can relate to this man. I know more about that. But people get condemned. I used to do it. I remember the first time I tried to fast after coming to this church, I made it till 2 in the afternoon. I'm sorry, that's just telling you the truth. I made it till 2 in the afternoon, and I thought I was going to die. Yeah, somebody said, Marinelle saying, at least you made it till 2 in the afternoon. But see, I didn't see it that way at all. And I mean, the devil came. He joined in with my, because I felt bad. I thought, man, you little weasel, you know, tell God you're going to fast and can't make it even one day. Well, not the Holy Spirit, the evil spirit. He jumped. Condemnation, scary kind, where people could feel it when they were around me. For about a day or two. Thank God we kept coming here, though. And Dave says, now, wait a minute. You've been trying to fast. And you've been struggling. And there's a whole church world out there that doesn't even believe fasting is for today. And they're not fasting at all. And you don't think God condemns them. But yet you're in here trying. And you started off on a 30-day fast and you only made it one. And you think God is docking you for that? He's going, attaboy, you made it one. Next time, go for two. See, all of that religious training has got to come out of us. If it doesn't make sense in the context of a family, your doctrine is messed up. You're not in a religion. You're in a family. Now, if you can relate it all to that love that a father has for his daughter and a mother has for her daughter, if you can relate it all like I don't care. It doesn't matter what she did. We're not happy about that. You may restrict yourself from our care by your own actions. Like, we couldn't fix her dinner while she's in jail. Okay? But man, all any parent's looking for is what? Repentance. Just tell me the truth. Don't lie about it. Tell me what you did. Are you genuinely sorry? Yes, I am. You don't want to do that anymore? No, I don't. Let's go fix the problem now. And that took about 2 years to fix that problem. By the way, Amanda did not serve 12 years. Should have. I mean, it legally could have. But the grace of God is, not only did she not serve any prison time, her records were expunged. But that was about it. Now, see, you think, what'd you do? A chandelier prayer and that happened? No, it took 2 years of obeying the Holy Ghost and thousands of dollars and hiring a spirit-filled attorney. Just the opposite of the kind that I wouldn't hire in the natural. I wanted John Wayne, and God sent Wally Cox. In the natural, he looked like, I'm telling you, everything about him. I wanted John Wayne. I wanted him to come in with both guns blazing, you know. And God's, you know, who do you want us to get? This Wally Cox here, you know. I'm going, God, I could beat him in court, you know. No, not really. So I found out he was John Wayne on the inside, you know. But anyway, it was expensive, it was long, it was hard, but we always triumph through our Lord. Now, you may think that's it's not a rabbit trail, people. That's something you can hang your hat on and remember the next time you miss it. Now, if you're not repenting, he may have to leave you in your circumstances for 30 days, 30 weeks. 30 years. Every parent is looking for repentance. Tell me what you did. We could go back to Jeremiah right now where he talks to backsliders. Yes. Hold it. We are going to read John 14 in Jesus' name. Jeremiah. There it is. Jeremiah chapter 3. We'll start in verse 12. It was even this way in the Old Testament. See, God Himself has not changed. His covenant with us has changed, but God's always been the same. He's always been a parent. He's always been a father. And if you can't see the heart of a father right here, I don't know what to tell you. Starting in verse 12, he says, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity." There it is. Tell me what you did. Acknowledge thine iniquity. Quit covering it up. Quit justifying it. Tell me what you did. My dad always told me, he said, "Boy, you know, if you do something at school and you wind up getting a whooping, that's one thing. But when you get home, you better tell me what really happened. And if I find out that you lied to me about it, I'm going to give you a whooping that makes others look like a piece of cake." That's our Father says, tell me the truth. Acknowledge it. All right? "Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Glory to God. There it is, the heart of the Father, even back then. Just tell me the truth. Don't do it anymore. And I'm going to provide teaching and understanding for you so you don't make that mistake again. God, is that not a parent? All right, back to John 14. Hallelujah. Well, he says here in John 14, 16 again, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you." How long? Now, get it straight. I want to say it this way to impact your brain. In a way, he's stuck with you. It helps you if you... He told me that one time. In a way, to help you understand, in language you can understand, I'm really stuck with you. Because I accepted this assignment voluntarily. Jesus came and stayed for 3.5 years. But when I knew when I took this assignment, I was going to be with you forever. And I'm stuck with you. I'm going to be with you. Good, bad. See, one of the things that it took years for it to dawn on me, most religion that I grew up under would really have kind of written Amanda off, because this rebellion went on for years. Let me ask you something. In that jail cell, let me ask you, is it possible for a human being to go through the miracle of regeneration without the power of the Holy Spirit? It's not, is it? So who had to be in that jail cell with her? The Holy Spirit was there. Right in the middle of all her rebellion, just waiting, hovering, like brooding over the face of the water, just waiting for the day for her to bow the knee on the inside, acknowledge what she'd done, say, "I need help." Whew. Here comes the Holy Ghost, and she's never been the same person since. Tell me he's not with you at your worst. He is too. I've seen... Let's see. I saw in a movie where the Holy Ghost conviction came on somebody in a bar. Saw it in a movie, I did. Holy Ghost is too holy to ever go into a bar. Well, you won't find him drinking in there, I'll tell you that. He is holy. But see, he's on the same mission that Jesus was on. And that's to seek and to save those that are lost. You don't find the lost in the churches. Well, you should. You know what I'm saying. You got to find them out in the world. And you're going to find the Holy Spirit right in the middle of every... He is so opposite from that little skittish dove. Why did it represent him like a dove then? Because he is so tender. He is so long-suffering, beyond anything you've ever thought of. He is so gentle. He's always a gentleman. Always. I've never seen him be rude or he's always long-suffering. The love is virtue. It is incomprehensible to the natural mind. The natural mind has to receive an understanding of that love by the Spirit and slowly be transformed to it. We are going to finish John 14. Okay. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. Here it is. This verse changed my life. King James says, I will not leave you comfortless. The actual Greek word there for comfortless is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. What he really said is, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Glory to God. And notice how he phrases it. I will come to you. What did he mean by that? Has Jesus personally appeared to any of you? No, don't answer that. I mean in the flesh. Walked in, you know, like walked through the wall, sat down with you, had breakfast. Walked back through the wall and the bacon and eggs didn't stick on the wall. I don't know how he does that. He did with them. He came and he ate fish. And he walked through the wall and the fish didn't slide down the wall. I don't understand that. Something about he glorified the fish too or something. The point is, he's not come back in the natural like he was right then talking to him. But he's come to us to not leave us as orphans. But how? He comes by that agency of the Holy Ghost. And the picture really is that we're supposed to be walk. You know, if we'd have been one of the 12, we'd have been walking from town to town with Jesus. And if you'd have had a question, you'd have said, Master, let me ask you this. And he would have turned to you and you would have heard his answer from his mouth to you, to your ear. Wouldn't that be great? But the picture is we're supposed to have not any less fellowship with him than that. As we journey from town to town, we're really journeying with him, but it's by the agency of the Holy Spirit who's right there with us. We ask a question. The Holy Spirit is with Jesus in heaven at the same moment he's with each of us on earth. The Lord hears that question, the answer comes, and the Holy Spirit's supposed to give it to us. We're not supposed to be walking in less of a lordship than the original 12. It's really a master stroke of genius because we don't have to email Jerusalem every day to find out our instructions. If the Lord was headquartered there. No, the Lord's headquartered in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And faster than email is the Holy Ghost. He operates, I would say, at the speed of thought, and it's probably faster than that. One of the things we're going to get to in this series is instant answers to immediate problems. How many of you would like that? Well, we'll get there. So I've not left you as orphans. I've come to you. I will come to you. Well, he comes to us by the agency of the Holy Ghost. Now, for today, we got only got 18 minutes left. Go to John 16. And also put a marker in 1 Corinthians 14. Usually, for years, I started off teaching here. By the way, this was the primary message that I taught all over South Africa and all over Poland, because in most of the times I only had one shot at each church. I would preach Friday night at a church and Saturday night at a different church and so on and so on. Well, if you've only got one message and you've got about an hour, there's nothing more important in my mind to get than getting believers a chance of getting them hooked up with the Holy Ghost. Because I know if I can get them hooked up with the Holy Ghost in any way at all, just where they can begin to hear from him, man, they're on their way. So for years, I'd start off, though, teaching it, starting in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Well, that's what I've just been talking about. He's not come to speak on his own authority. He's not come to become your Lord. What he hears, hears where? He hears it from Jesus. He hears it from the mind of Christ. What he hears in heaven, he speaks to us on earth. He is faster than email. He is God's email system, though, if you'll allow me, for you to receive your instructions on a daily basis from headquarters. Headquarters is Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. What he hears, that's what's going to speak to you. You're going to follow Jesus how? You're going to hear his instructions that come by the Holy Ghost. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now today, though, let's back up one verse. Verse 12. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, we touched on this a little bit, but I want to go a little bit more tonight. Put yourself in Peter's position. You've been following the Lord for 3.5 years. Not only have you heard every single sermon. I mean, what if you guys got to personally travel with Dave during all those years when he was traveling so much? I wanted to do that so bad. We were here 6 years before I ever heard Dave preach a message away from here. Because I always had to be here when Dave was gone. Okay? But boy, I wanted to. I wanted to go. I wanted to hear every message. Peter got to hear every single message. And not only that, in the evenings, I picture around the campfire in between villages. If you had questions about the message, how many of y'all would like to just sit and be able to have hours to spend with Brother Dave and just ply him with hard questions like the Queen of Sheba did Solomon? I just have all these questions, Dave. Well, how much more would you like to do that with Jesus? Peter got to do that. And anything he didn't understand, you know, Jesus would say, well, now to them I speak in parables, but to you is given to know the understandings of these internal things of the kingdom, you know. But even though you've been in that and you've heard everything that's come from his lips for 3.5 years, right here at this point he says, I have a lot. Notice how he phrases it. I have many. I have many things. I have yet, meaning I've never told him up till now. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. God, if I was Peter, I'd be going, say on, Lord. What do you mean, say on? I want to hear it all. I've been following. Tell me, what are you talking about? You have more, many things more that you've never said to me so far? Say them, Lord. You know, Peter didn't know it, but Jesus knew it, and we know it now because we have 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That the reason Jesus couldn't convey those words to him is that the things of God, you have to have a spirit which is of God to know the things which are freely given by God. He says there in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, now that we've been born again, we've received not the spirit of the world. That's the Adamic spirit that you received when you was born from your mother. We've received not that spirit, but we received the spirit, little s, which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that have been given to us of God. I wrote out in my margin, inheritance. He's talking about things from another world. He's talking about the things of the kingdom that the natural mind cannot comprehend. He says in that same passage, he says that natural man, he cannot know them. He doesn't say it's difficult. It says he cannot know them. That's what he meant to Peter. Peter, you can't know these things because they are spiritually discerned. You've got to have a spirit which is of God in order to understand these things given by God. Well, you've heard all of that before, but I want to blow your hat in the creek just a little bit. How many of you want the precise leadership of Jesus? Let me see your hand. I mean, no more messing around, no more guessing. I want to know, and I want to know for sure. Now, here's the point. You can memorize all the red letters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Memorize them. Know them by heart. And you will never know the things that he was talking about right there. Because they had not yet been spoken. You're going to get them from the Holy Ghost or somebody who's been taught by the Holy Ghost, or you're not going to get them. When that dawned on me, because most of the people I grew up with that felt the call of God on their life, they would enroll in I got to quit saying cemetery. It's not funny anymore. But they would enroll in a seminary, and you already know what's coming because that denomination doesn't even believe in speaking with other tongues. They don't believe in speaking the mysteries. And they believe you can actually find out these things by diligent study. Well, you can find out some things because some of the things Jesus was talking about there, Paul taught. Paul taught, Peter taught, as they would learn from the Holy Ghost. And that's what in that same passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, says, Paul says, look, I do teach these things among those that are mature, but I teach those things which the Holy Ghost teaches. When you're praying in other tongues, you're downloading the mysteries. I did that for years. I'm still doing it. But when I stand up here, I'm uploading the mysteries. I'm sharing with you things that I have been taught by the Holy Ghost. But see, that's different, though, still yet, from I don't know what your individual calling is in the precise way that the Lord has it in mind. I don't know exactly what He's called you to do. I can share revelation with you, like Paul did, and other teachers. I can share revelation, but I don't know your calling. I don't know His instructions for you on a daily basis. I don't know what you're called to. Those are the mysteries. So let's phrase it this way. Peter, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Well, that's because he was unregenerate at this point. Until you're born again, you just can't. There's only one real message for the unborn again person, and that's Christ and Him crucified. You got to get them born again. My ministry as a teacher really begins when somebody gets born again. Before that, I mean, I have a ministry, but it's, if you're not born again, I only have one message for you. Let me tell you about Christ and Him crucified. Till you receive Him, till you get born again, I really have no other ministry to you. Except getting you baptized in the Holy Ghost after you get saved. But that's teaching. Anyway. Now, so would you say that if you were Peter sitting right there and the Lord says, I got many things yet that I'd like to tell you, wouldn't you say, man, whatever those things are, they're a mystery to me right now. Would that be fair? It's a mystery. I wonder what he's talking about. Wonder what those things are. What a mystery. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14. Starting in verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Sometimes, there is a tongue that speaks to men. There is a tongue that speaks to men. It's the kind to be interpreted, is one way. The kind to be interpreted. Where God will give a message through a tongue, especially for a body like this, during a service especially. One person will give the tongue. They don't know the understanding. But someone who has the gift of interpretation is in the room, they can stand up and give the interpretation. And that's God speaking to man. It's equivalent to prophecy. All right, there's another kind of tongue that is God speaking to man. And that's like on the day of Pentecost, when the people heard them speak in their own languages. Here you had all these different, they'd come for a big festival. You had Greeks and Romans and Persians, and I don't remember all that. It gives you a whole list of all these different people that had different languages, yet they heard them speaking, the men heard them speaking in their own native tongue, and they knew they were only Galileans. So there are tongues that speak to men. What kind is he talking about here? This is the kind that Dave has written a whole book about. This is the kind of tongue for personal edification. It's not one intended to be interpreted really to men. It's not speaking to men in their own language. This is in your own private prayer time where you yourself isolate yourself. Really, what you've done, you've set your spirit down in the classroom of the Holy Ghost. You're not speaking unto men while you're sitting there speaking in tongues. You are speaking unto God. All right? Well, what's happening while I'm doing that? No man understands him. How be it in the spirit, he's speaking mysteries. Now we understand, okay? God was confused on some things. He didn't understand some things. He needed you to come down and sit in the room and speak unto God so you could explain some mysteries to him. Do you think in 1,000 years that's right? No. These are the very mysteries. These are the very things that Jesus was talking about to the 12. He says, I have so many things I'd like to tell you. But you have no capacity. There is nothing in you that could possibly function. You couldn't even comprehend it. But boy, once you get born again, and then once you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, God made a way of bypassing that old intellect that we have, the one that we seem to rely on so much. Well, you know, and you do need your intellect to function in this world. But see, these things are spiritually discerned first. Your spirit has to be taught them. These are the very mysteries that you're praying, the very things that if Jesus, you know, the very things that Peter says, boy, I wish you could tell me. Now, would you like to know, Peter? Sit here and pray in other tongues for a while. While you're sitting there, you're speaking directly with the Holy Ghost. I can't improve on how Dave says it. It's like you're set down in the classroom and the finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard the one doing the teaching? That's the Holy Ghost. You keep doing that and make a practice out of that, you're not going to continue wandering around like some orphan, doing this for God, hoping it's God, doing that for God, hoping it's God, doing this other thing over here, hoping that's God. Now, the Holy Spirit, if you tie all these things together, He has come. He has... Let me just use Sue and I. I won't use you. I'll be nice. For 12 years, Sue and I had done our best before we came here to serve the Lord. But I got to tell you, most of the time, we felt like little orphans. We couldn't really hear Him. I didn't know for sure. Maybe this is okay, and we'd just go do things and hoping. I mean, we started doing this message. Now, it's slow. It's agonizingly slow. Has anyone found out? Tim says God only has two speeds. Slow and slower. You know, that's God's two speeds. Don't you hate that? But it's the truth. But little by little by little, I found out I wasn't called to pastor. Who knew? Daisy? There's no doubt in my mind, if I would have attended seminary, there's no doubt in my mind that they would have quickly discerned, my brother, that you are called to be a pastor because of the way my temperament is and certain qualities that I have. There's no doubt in my mind. And I would have spent the rest of my life somewhere trying my best to pastor a church when I never was really called to pastor anyway. Now, for all of you that call me Pastor Gary, that's fine. I don't care, but I'm not one. Okay? You don't call me teacher either. Just Gary is fine, okay? Gary is fine. Okay? But there's no doubt in my mind. And would God have blessed me and loved me and done everything He could to help? Well, sure He would. And He would have blessed us. He said, you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward. I mean, He would have done that. But there is just a big difference between that and finding out. If there's a way to put your hand in the hand of the Holy Ghost and say, I'm tired of wandering around here like an orphan. I'm tired of just doing all this stuff and wondering if it's God. Holy Spirit, if there is a way that I can put my hand in yours and you'll lead me into the light, you'll lead me right into the, not guessing anymore, take me right into the fullness of His call where I know on a daily basis I am about my Master's business, doing exactly what He called me to do, where He called me to do it, how He called me to do it. Everything like that. If there is a way, Holy Ghost, I'm ready. How many of you are ready? You ready for that? I baited you good. Because I only know one way to do it. And that's to epoxy your britches in a chair somewhere. Begin doing exactly what it says here in 1 Corinthians 14:2. Begin letting those other tongues be created in your spirit. It's a master stroke of genius by the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just get out of your own mind for a little while? No, we're not telling people to lose their mind. What I mean is all the questions and the wonderings and the debatings. And wouldn't it be nice to just take a vacation where you don't have to figure it out and you can just pray it out? What's amazing, if you'll just pray, just say, Holy Spirit, I'm tired of trying to figure this out. Would you please just come and pray it out through me? Amen. And He just begins to create a language and a prayer that is, it's like, finally, I thought I was going to have to leave you in that jail cell forever. I'm teasing in a way. He says, finally, you're going to go on vacation? You understand what I mean by that? And let me start really praying the real plan of God for your life? You're willing to trust me that much? And I won't be wasting your time. One of the things He said to me, sir, He says in there, I'm not going to have you spending your energy on things that pertain not to your call. What He means by that, in one way, you're going to quit judging other people in their walk. You're not going to have time. You're going to be too busy working on the things in your walk that's hindering you from the fullness of Christ. Preach is real good. You know it's true, don't you? You know it's true. Right there it is. We merged about three different books there. Yeah, preach is real good. You know it's true. You've seen the fruit of it. But I already know the devil's plan. Tomorrow, you will be attacked with the devil named Samo. I know his name. How do you know his name? Don't ask me how I know his name. And his plan, you know, tomorrow, I mean, this preaches real good. But tomorrow, see, the only thing that's going to change is if you change. Dave's been teaching us about how precious our free will is to God. And it is, boy. If God was ever going to override man's free will, he would have done it on Adam's journey to the tree. If he was ever going to override it, that's when he would have done it. Wouldn't you say? That makes sense to me. And it's really up to you. Yeah, I want that leadership. What would you give for it? Oh, I'd give anything to be led by the Holy Ghost. I just really would. Really? Going to get up 2 hours early tomorrow and pray in other tongues and let those mysteries flow through you before you go to work or before you get the kids up or before whatever? This doesn't happen because you know about it. This happens when you do it. You do the message, see? Well, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries. Right now, the Lord's saying, I'm telling you, he's saying to each of us the same thing. I have yet many things to say unto you. I have many things. You're able to bear them now. He wouldn't tell us the same thing. He says, you have a spirit in you. You have a nature in you that has a capacity to bear these things. All I'm asking is, will you spend time with the teacher I have sent to let him teach you those things that I'd like to say? He'll bring my words to you. If you'd like to know those things, the decision is yours.